Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Now, this week, it's yours truly, and I want to share with you some of my favorite sales strategies, tips, and techniques. Okay, so let's get right into it. I want to start off with a question. How big is your ass? That's right, I asked. Now, you might not be thinking what I'm thinking. I'm not talking about the ass that we can all grow sitting on a couch. No. I'm talking about the ass in a sales sense, as in what is your average size sale? That's right. Now, if you don't know what your average size sale is, I strongly recommend that you do the work, figure it out, run the numbers. You really should know what your average size sale is and also what your average number of orders either per week or per month are, depending upon what kind of business you're in. So why is this so important? Let's just do a quick example. Let's say your average size sale is $5,000. And on average, you're doing two orders a week. So that's $10,000 in, let's call it a 50-week sales year. We always have some vacation in there. So that's $10,000 over the 50 weeks. So you're selling $500,000 a year. All right, not bad. Let's say you want to increase your sales. Here's one great way to do it, by increasing your average size sale. So you can still work with the same customer base. You can still work with the same number of average orders that you're doing per week, but it's just increasing the value of each order that you're already doing. All right. So if you added 10% to your average size order, well, do the math. You just added 10% to your sales for the year. So you can go from $500,000 to $550,000. That's a simple example. Now, the important thing is, how do we do it? The good news is it's not complicated. On the part of the salesperson, it takes an awareness and an understanding. You want to understand your customers' trends. How do they use your products and services? How often do they use them? Why are they using them? Okay? Because when you have a better understanding of why they use your products and services, you can then go to them with certain insights as to why it may make sense to have more inventory on hand. You know, can you save them shipping costs? Can you save them time, money, and aggravation? Can you give them volume discounts? These are all very basic things that I'm sure you've done before. If you haven't thought of them in a while, now is a good time. But we just don't want to ask for a bigger order. We want to come to the customer with value. Have a conversation about, hey, you know what, Mr. Customer? I've seen your buying trends over the last 6 months. This is what I noticed. I have a suggestion for you. Listen to that. I have a suggestion for you. Customers love to hear suggestions, okay? You're bringing value to the conversation, okay, that can help them. So again, volume discounts could be one way to increase average size sale. And again, it helps with shipping, inventory on hand, etc. Here's another one that I love. What about bundles? That's right, bundling products. Because what happens with the typical salesperson? We've all fallen into the trap. You have a great customer, right? They've been with you for years. They buy consistently, weekly, monthly, whatever it may be. You know what they buy. But what happens with salespeople, word of warning, we fall into the trap of becoming order takers, not order makers. There's a lot more value in an order maker. So what happens is, and I've heard this, it's probably happened to you, I've heard it a million times. A salesperson will say to me, oh, I just missed out on this great opportunity. I had a great client and they bought green widgets from my competitor. I'm like, well, what happened? They told me they didn't know we sold those. Whose fault is that? That's right, it's your fault. It is always up to us, the sales professionals, to make sure our customers know exactly what products and services we offer and how those products and services can help them be more productive, help them in their business, in their bottom line. Okay, so bundles are a great way. If you have a new product, obviously, great way to bundle, make an offer. Or if you have, again, if you go back to the usage, let's spend some time, let's get curious, let's dig into the facts and the statistics. How are your customers using your products and services? So if you've seen that they've used a handful of products, which is common, and there's a whole line that they've never touched, have a conversation. Say, hey, Mr. Prospect, I have a suggestion. There's something I think I can help you with. then talk about those either new products or those already existing products that they never tried. They might not even know you have. So you can offer the volume discounts. You can offer the bundles. And these are very effective, very proven ways of increasing the size of your ass. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow our average size sale. All right? Even by 10% over your orders each and every week. Think what that does to your bottom line. And you don't have to stop at 10%, by the way. So here it is, folks. Run your numbers. Figure out what your average size sale is. Know how many orders on average you're writing a week. Then start to get curious about your customers. How are they using their products and services? Figure out their trends. Figure out their usage. And then come to them with valuable suggestions. So now here's the added bonus to this tip. Not only is it going to help you grow the size of your ass, but it's also going to help you solidify the relationship with your customer. Because you're not just asking, you're not just order taking, you're coming to them with value. And that's going to solidify the relationship. And it's going to help separate you from the competition. All right. So that's the first of one of my favorite sales strategies. Okay. Paying attention to managing and growing the size of your ass. So that's number one. Here's another one I want to share with you today. Pipeline. Okay. Nothing revolutionary here. Or maybe there is. Everybody in business knows pipeline. Business owners, sales managers, sales professionals. It's that very simple, basic tool that's been around forever. It's a way for us to measure our and keep track of our opportunities, our quotes, and our proposals. Here's where we fall into some problems. And this is where it comes down to what I often say, salespeople live or die by their pipeline. I'm going to help you live by your pipeline. I'm going to help you thrive by your pipeline today. So what a lot of owners unfortunately do, and a lot of sales managers unfortunately do, is they like to see a lot of activity. Now, on the surface, that makes sense. Okay, you want to see the prospecting numbers. You want to see the quotes and the proposals. I get it. But we're human. We're salespeople. We can have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. So when that pipeline is not looking healthy, what do? You know it and I know it. We pad the pipeline, or worse, we poison the pipeline with unqualified opportunities, with unqualified prospects. That's right. So the numbers short-term can look good. Short-term, they could get your boss off your back. But then what are you doing? You have false hope. What are you doing? You're chasing. You're chasing stuff that's not qualified. That's not good. Not good. So what do? Now, this is big. This is pen and paper material. What I recommend, instead of thinking of your pipeline as a pipeline, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet, it's a CRM, think of your pipeline as a table with limited seats. A table with limited seats. And your prospect has to earn a seat at your table. Boom! Think about that. How does that make you feel? Just saying that. You have to earn a seat at my table. That's right. Now, I'm not saying that to be obnoxious. It's meant to give you a new mindset. It's meant to have you look at your pipeline differently, because you just want to keep throwing and poisoning the pipeline with unqualified stuff that you have to chase and then say, hey, I'm just following up on the quote I gave you last week, and you're talking to a voicemail or you're sending emails that never get a reply to. Okay, that just drains your energy. You don't get paid for the opportunity. We all know that. So let's just take a time. Let's empower ourselves to look at our pipelines differently. It's a table with limited seats. Now, I don't care if you have 10 seats at your table, 15 or 20. It's limited. Some businesses are different. They're higher volume, lower volume, whatever it is, okay? But the seats have to be limited. So I know what you're thinking. So, okay, Tim, how do my prospects and my customers, how do they earn a seat at the table? You got to qualify them. You got to qualify them. Just because they love you, just because they think your proposal was great, doesn't mean they've earned a seat at the table. You've got to understand the very basics of qualification, which you should know by now, which I'm sure you do know. We'll do a little review. You want to start off by knowing clearly and identifying, why are you talking in the first place? Why do they need your product or service, right? Okay. You want to understand, who's the competition? Who else are they looking at, right? Who's the competition? You also want to understand, how do they make the decision? What factors are they going to look at? Have we talked budget? Who else is involved in the decision-making process? And trust me when I say there's always somebody else. Even if you're talking to the owner, there's always somebody else. There's an influencer, a partner. Okay? Always somebody else. Here's another great question. Is having this product or service, is it something you'd like to do or something you must do? That's a power question. I could do a whole podcast on that one. Something you'd like to do or something you must do? So think about this. I've just gone through a litany of about half a dozen basic but powerful questions. So if you don't have the answers to why are you talking in the first place, how is the product or service going to impact them? How is it going to help them? How are they going to make a decision? Who else is going to make a decision? What's the budget? Who are the competitors? What's the timeline? What's their urgency? If you can't answer these questions, you're taking a big risk that they have not earned a seat at the table. See, I'm not really impressed as a sales coach with a pipeline. Oh, they got $1 million in the pipeline. They've got 50 opportunities. I want to know what's qualified and what you're closing. Because you don't want false hope. Hope is not a strategy. Okay? Hope is not a strategy. So my big, and one of my favorite things to talk about is just that, the pipeline. And we live or die by a pipeline. And let's face it, as a sales professional, you're more likely to die by the pipeline if you filled it with poison opportunities. Okay? So my big recommendation, starting today, whenever you're talking to a prospect or whenever you're talking to a customer, they have to earn a seat at your table. Because what that also does, besides putting you in control and shifting your mindset, it's also going to help bolster your confidence. Because let's face it, I remind myself, Tim Healy, Healy Success Solution. There are thousands of people who need my help. I don't have enough time to get to them all. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that I find the ones who really need my help, who really value what I have to offer. So I do that by qualifying. Because if I waste time with people who are unqualified, the people who could really benefit from my products or services or from your products or services, you're not going to be able to get to them because you're spinning your wheels following up on somebody who's never going to become a customer. Okay, so that is one of my second favorite sales strategies that I use each and every day. My clients are using it each and every day. It's to help you win the battle for business, of course. And listen, what I also want to take a moment is to thank today's sponsor for the episode, Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. They do amazing work. So do me a favor, please visit my good friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com, CorbettPR.com. Okay, so we've talked about how big is your ass, growing your average size sale, living, not dying by your pipeline as ways to help you win the battle for business. But what I also want to do is talk about some strategies that I learned from one of my favorite guests of all time. What we did is recently we promoted some great best of shows that were in the vault. And if you're a fan of the show, you probably know, you've probably seen, I've interviewed George Foreman a number of years ago. And personally, it was my one of my all-time favorites. I've been blessed to have a lot of great shows. And if you're a boxing fan, you know him as the Olympic gold medal winner. You know him as a two-time heavyweight champion. If you're not that much of a boxing fan, then you certainly know George Foreman for, amongst many things, being a prolific entrepreneur and being a part of the George Foreman lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine that sold over 110 million units. It's more now Those numbers are probably a little dated. One of the best-selling appliances of all time. So I had George on, and there's two things that George shared with me that I want to share with you. And I hadn't thought of them in a while. I hadn't listened to the episode in a while. And again, we were promoting the episode, and I just listened to the whole episode. I enjoyed it. So George Foreman, if you don't know, he made a comeback to boxing after a 10-year hiatus. He was just about 40 when he made his comeback, or he was 40 years old. And that's certainly, you know, not a great age to be getting back into the ring to fight other heavyweights. And it was his last fight in 1997 that he actually lost to Shannon Briggs. And it was an amazing story. And so what happens is he's in the ring. He was just in a heavyweight fight. He loses the fight. Larry Merchant, who was one of the commentators for HBO Boxing at the time, he goes up to George. He's like, "Hey, George, what happened in there?" And without hesitation, George Foreman says, and I quote, "Have you heard of the George Foreman lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine?" Larry Merchant lets out this laugh. So I asked George Foreman, I said, "George, was that planned or was that spontaneous?" And he goes, "Oh," he's like, "listen, I planned on winning that boxing match number one, but I didn't. Okay, so I wasn't going to talk about losing. So I had the opportunity. I had a mic in front of me. The world was listening. I was going to sell something. So I just jumped right into talking about the grill." And that's exactly what he did. So as we were talking, he said, "Listen, you never know when the opportunity to sell is going to present itself." Now, listen, me, you, and probably most people listening to my podcast are not going to be interviewed in the middle of a boxing ring anytime soon. But what's very likely is that you, me, and everybody else listening, okay, as we're here to win that battle for business each and every day, we're going to be in line at Starbucks, and we're going to see somebody who we might be able to help. A conversation starts. Maybe somebody sees your golf shirt with your logo and they ask you a question, or you see them and their hat, their logo, something happens, a conversation starts. Maybe it's at the sideline of your kid's soccer game or baseball game. Maybe you're in line in the DMV. You never know when it's going to happen. But the point is, and what George Foreman was sharing, is you've got to be ready to sell, because it's always time to sell. And I like to think I'm pretty good at that. I like to think I try to be as ready and present and in the moment as possible. But if I were in George Foreman's shoes, would I have thought that? I don't know. That was pretty amazing. So always being ready for those opportunities, because let's face it, we know. Could it be a one-off small opportunity, or could it be your next best, biggest client? We don't know, but be ready. Okay, I got one more I want to share with you. And this to me, again, from the George Foreman interview, may very well be one of the most shocking, stunning answers I've ever gotten from a guest. So as my interview with George was wrapping up, I said, "Hey, George, thanks for being on. It's been a great conversation." I said, "If you could leave the listeners as they are heading off on their journey for creating business success, for winning the battle for business, if you could leave them with one thing, George, what would that be?" George pauses for a brief moment, and then he says the word forgiveness. Wow. I was blown away. I was not expecting that from George Foreman. So he says forgiveness. He's like, to be a great salesperson, many doors are going to be slammed in your face. Door after door, day after day, doors get slammed in your face. And you have to be sold on forgiveness. He's like, if you're sold on forgiveness, you can sell anything. because, and he said it, he goes, listen, you might not like me today, but I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I guarantee you're going to like me better tomorrow. Okay, so that's, hey, that's passion, that's enthusiasm, that's confidence. But the real big takeaway there, folks, and it's, listen, it's our ego. Nobody likes getting the door slammed in your face. It's not pleasant. Doesn't feel good. It's happened to me. But another one of the takeaways that I got from that message from George on forgiveness is leave your ego at the door, because you know what? We're going to get hung up on. We're going to get door slammed in our face. We're going to have people never return our calls again. It's going to happen. Leave your ego at the door, because you know what? You might have just gotten that prospect at the wrong time. They might have had a bad day, but 6 months later, and I've seen it, I'm sure you probably have, all of a sudden, they've forgotten that they hung up on you. I guarantee they're going to forget they hung up on you, right? And then your timing may just be perfect. But you're not going to have a second chance if you hold a grudge. You're not going to have a second chance if you let your ego get in the way. Oh, I'm not going back to them. Oh, yeah, they stink. Oh, yeah, the gatekeeper. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Be sold on forgiveness, and you can sell anything. Well, hey, this was the Profit Express today. As always, I thank you for sharing your time. I thank you for being on board. And I would do whatever I can to help you, me, and everybody listening and watching to win the battle for business. And don't forget, you can follow me and the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Facebook at The Profit Express page, also on Twitter at Profit_Express. So it's been a blast. I love talking sales, and I love helping you win the battle for business.